Good morning. It is due to the electronic snafu. It is 10:38 a.m. Wednesday, December 20th, 2024. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert here in person, Commissioner Julie Fedorchek virtually. And before anything else on the agenda, would you join me and in pledging allegiance to our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I don't really have any opening comments at the time, and I guess they won't be opening, but I will have just a brief comment after the consent calendar, if there's no objection to that. And so I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad everyone is here safely, and I wish everyone's travels to be safe. But due to the weather conditions, I'll just say slow down. My next comment is something very personal that I work with. I'm involved in some military affair organizations, and right now we have been raising money for Wreaths Across America to cover every headstone at the North Dakota Veterans Cemetery. And I am proud to say, North Dakota proud to say, that we have received sponsorships to cover every headstone at the Veterans Cemetery. We've been successful since 2013, and it's a passion of mine to make sure that every year across this great state, the veterans are recognized for their sacrifice. So to all who have helped with this event or recognize it in whatever capacity, thank you. Thank you so much.
It's a great project. Thanks for your leadership on that. Commissioner Fedorchek.
Well, hi, everybody. This is I'm participating this week and last week in the House orientation for new members of the House of Representatives, and I'm actually sitting in Kelly Armstrong's almost emptied out office. This is not the office where I'll be located. I'll be taking a lottery, participating in a lottery tomorrow for my office space, but I want to thank Kelly for allowing us to camp out here, and I'm pleased that everyone was able to adjust the schedule a little bit to allow me to participate both in all the activities that they have me doing here as part of orientation for my next job, and also maintain in my responsibilities for my current job, and have the commission meeting today. So thank you very much.
And I should have pointed this out right at the beginning, but forgot, and thank you for the reminder, Sherry. We broadcast these meetings typically, not because it's required, but because in all of our strong belief in just transparency and making sure that the public gets that opportunity. We have electronic problems. It's not working right now. It's not a requirement that we do that, so we're going to continue on with the meeting, but it will be recorded, and the recording will be posted on our website, so there will be that alternative. So then we have five items on the consent calendar, and I move approval of those five items along with the minutes of the previous meetings.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I had mentioned before we move into the regular calendar items, just a little comment. I didn't want to take this off consent and go through the whole process of explaining it because I don't think it's that controversial. But regarding number four with MDU's cogeneration small power producer rates, maybe not at this point so much, but just as we move forward into ultimately their IRP, I just want to take this opportunity to point out I do have concerns from all of our utilities, just using this as an example, of how much we ultimately rely on demand response programs. To the extent someone wants to, you know, not run their dryer during peak hours and get a discount, wonderful. To the extent it's become something that utilities really rely on and kind of strong arm people and organizations to participate in, I fear for the secondary results whereby, yes, a business is okay with being closed at certain hours in order to stay off peak, but their customers might be dramatically and adversely impacted by that. You know, maybe it's a repair shop and now someone else can't get their harvesting done because the repair shop closed that afternoon. And then it explodes even to the side. Like, what does this do to our society and our economy if we become too reliant on these things and essentially we just don't have electricity when in high times of need? So it's kind of far out there, but I just want to point it out early on and take this opportunity to point that out as we move into the IRPs. With that, we'll move into our regular agenda. And I move the commission initiate case number AM-24-369 for the 2025 Lehigh Road Phase 10 and Scranton Phase 4 AML project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands and Public Service Commission 2025 Lehigh Road Phase 10 and Scranton Phase 4 AML project case number AM-24-369.
Second.
So the 2025, these, what sounds like two projects. It is one drilling and grouting project to stabilize abandoned underground coal minings southeast of Dickinson, and I believe it's south of Scranton. Right? Yeah. So the project is a continuation of two projects, the 2024 exploratory drilling project and the 2024 Lehigh Phase 9 project. So this will be 10. Lehigh is the one near Dickinson, and the other is the one at Scranton. So we're combining these two, even though they're not physically together, we're combining these two undertakings into a single project so they can be solicited as one drilling and grouting project rather than soliciting for two separate projects. The 2024 projects, and I want to emphasize the 2024 projects where we were grouting at Dickinson and exploratory drilling at Scranton, revealed additional voids along roadways and other infrastructure. Some sinkholes have already opened near the roads. AML staff recommends additional drilling for confirmation of previously grouted areas. They also estimate about 5,000 cubic yards of grout may be pumped into these mine workings. The work is expected to be conducted between July and October of 2025. The estimated cost of the project is $1.6 million. A lot of money to be pumping under the ground. However, what this is doing is, and especially along these roadways, preventing potentially losses of life, you know, because these things have been out there for many, many decades. They're slowly deteriorating. The ground slowly falls down into these old voids. Some of them we were aware of from old mine files. A lot of them, they never got filed with us as they were supposed to 100 years ago. But we're finding them now. We know they're there. This grant money's available. And so we're working to fill these things in before all of a sudden one night a section of road collapses and someone comes along accidentally and falls into it. These are the kinds of things we're preventing. And then less dramatic than the roadways, but there can be other things on private land as well. So, because this is a really large volume, I just wanted to explain that a little bit, what we're doing. And we're not just pumping $1.6 million under the ground for something to do. we're preventing what can be some very serious and potentially deadly accidents. The AML division has funds to complete the project as designed, recommends initiation, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Algenhoffert.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company, MDU, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, 345 KV Transmission Line, Jamestown to Ellendale, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-24-91.
Second.
On February 29th, Otter Tail and MDU filed a joint application for a Certificate of Public and Convenience and Necessity to construct, own, and operate approximately 85 miles of 345 kV transmission line and expand four substations. So on the 27th of March, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. No responses were received. And then on July 8th, the commission discussed these matters with the application at an informal hearing. So going through this, the discussion of this, I already said it's a joint application between two of our facilities to construct this 345 KV line. And both Otter Tail and MDU are members of the Mid-Continent Independent Systems Operator, which we refer to as MISO, which is a RTO responsible for overseeing and managing the electric power transmission grid across 15 U.S. states as well as Canada, province of Manitoba. And it was in July of 2022, MISO approved the first phase of tranche. We refer to them as tranche one. We'll hear maybe tranche two, 2.1, but this is in tranche one. And in their approval of this tranche one, of its long-term transmission planning, which this project is part of. Tranche 1 overall consists of 18 projects with a total of more than 2,000 miles of lines and a cost of $10 billion. Now let's focus on this project. I already described it's a joint application for 85 miles of a 345 KV line. And it's some joint ownership and some single ownership. Otter Tail and MDU intend to jointly construct and own the Jamestown to Ellendale 345 transmission line and the expansion of the Twin Brooks 345 KV substation. MDU will construct, own, and operate the expansion required at the Ellendale 345 KV substation. Otter Tail will construct, own, and operate the expansion required at the Jamestown and Maple River 345 KV. So the total investment in this project is $440 million and is expected to be in service by the end of 2028. Ownership, as I went through, is roughly 50-50. The cost of this project approved under MISO's long-term transmission tranche one will be recovered on a pro rata basis, utilizing each company's energy use as a portion of the MISO subregion total. So for MDU, this base is 0.67% and Otter Tail is 1.57%, which is estimated to be approximately $469,000 annually or roughly $235,000 each. We have spent some considerable time on discussion of this. Commissioner Fedorchak is our representative in MISO, and we appreciate all her efforts and advocacy on this. This project is the only project in North Dakota in which we receive benefits of it. Having considered this, I support this order to approve this. Public convenience and necessity. And I think there's been a lot of work into it, a lot of questions answered, and I appreciate both utilities companies' work on this, on providing us additional information, and I support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yes, I will say, as I think was pretty obvious in work sessions, I come down a little differently on this, at least for now. Commissioner, you're right in focusing on this project out of the 18 because it's the one for which they're asking for the certificate from us. But I think it is important to keep in consideration that it is part of an entire tranche that includes the other 17 projects as well. And if a state were to forego the project in their state, or some states I presume there are multiple projects in, and forego one or more of the projects in their state, maybe it doesn't make much difference. I suppose, you know, this project is about maybe 5%. Does 5% matter? I will tell you that there were times when I used to sit in the Senate when there were big budget bills that I didn't think much of anything in there. For my part, the whole thing could have gone away. But I knew I couldn't kill them. But if I could find 5% of what I thought was not well justified, I was satisfied to try and get 5% out of there and save that. But the bigger picture is, if we were to deny this ultimately and this part didn't get built but the rest got built, I suppose it's not going to make much difference to the ratepayers because it's only a 5% savings. But if a state, if any state, takes that kind of a leadership position, are there some other projects out there that then other states follow up and say, yes, we're not providing a certificate for one or more of the projects in our state either because we don't feel they've been justified? Now, maybe if the applicants tried harder, I could be persuaded that these are justified. I just haven't heard the justification yet. I hear, read comments throughout this process. The voltage issues relieved and the thermal issues relieved. The number of issues being relieved in the comments don't match. And it's not like it's off by one or two, that there's some rounding error. The studies just don't even seem to match. And in fact, the last filing from Otter Tail highlighted twice, once regarding the voltage issues being relieved, separately regarding the thermal issues being relieved, emphasized that they're using engineering judgment rather than analysis. That's not very persuasive to me that these are problems that need to be resolved. My understanding here is these problems don't really exist. They are forward-looking. They don't exist yet. They're problems we still need to create. Based on what I've heard, I haven't heard good reason for why perhaps some of these problems couldn't be prevented rather than created and then resolved by this spending. One example is the 800 megawatts of solar. No one has said where this is going, what projects these are. There's one that I think we're going to hear about shortly and probably approve, but I think that's a fourth of that 800. We have an application for another one. We haven't even had a hearing on it. I don't know yet whether there's justification for it, but combined, they're a long ways from 800 megawatts. Where is this stuff? Are we just making this up or what? I just haven't heard good justification. And another thing that really bothers me with all this, this is based on MISO's 2022 studies. Now, we can keep reviewing it, never really providing the exact things that we want to do to create the problems or the impact those problems would have. But in the 2+ years since then, I don't know if no one kept track of all the input that came up with the cost-benefit ratio for this whole tranche of 18 projects or what, but in the computer age, it seems hard for me to believe that in all this time, they couldn't take those same inputs and add in the very significant applied digital impact that's right in the heart of this area. And based on our staff's analysis, is already, even though it's only partially operating, is already providing some congestion relief. But in all this time, no one could redo that study and take applied digital into consideration. That seems very concerning to me. Lastly, or at least close to lastly, I want to say it's purely coincidental timing that this is your first agenda item following up on my only agenda item for the day. That AML program, there's a problem down there. Now, some of those mine shafts might never cave in, but we know that very likely a lot of them are going to, because we've seen them cave in. Time goes on. We don't know if it's going to be this year or 5 years from now. But there are problems that are there. They are there. And we're solving them. Here, at least based on what we've been told so far, these are problems that we still need to create, and nobody's really telling us what it is that they want to do to create them. The applicant or applicants in this case both work with us. They're regulated utilities. They know that there's a process here. We have a demonstrated record of protecting confidential information. I don't know why more hasn't been shared with us, but the applicants have a burden to show the necessity of this, and for my part, they haven't. Last thing I want to point out, these are costs that ratepayers are going to be paying for 40 years. People that aren't even born yet are going to be paying these costs. So I think it needs to really be done cautiously.
Is there any further discussion?
Hi there. I'll make some comments. Can you guys hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Okay, great. So Randy, you know, I think you raise a lot of pretty valid questions and concerns. From my perspective on this, I do have concerns with the MISO's overall transmission build out efforts. They will say openly that a lot of those efforts are largely driven by the need to meet member goals, which is goals like Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, and other states in terms of replacing existing generation and reaching kind of carbon-free goals by certain dates. So they've broken it down into several different packages called tranches of projects, the first one being this tranche one. the tranche one package is much more defensible based on just needs to generally expand the transmission infrastructure, shore it up, create a stronger backbone throughout our MISO North region. The projects in it are much more of that kind of broadly beneficial projects to help strengthen the overall backbone of the MISO North region. This project is one that reaches into our state and one of the only projects in the existing plans, all of the existing plans to reach into North Dakota, and has the most benefits to our state. And quite honestly, this one does have some immediate benefits to our state. It creates some beneficial redundancy for Otter Tail and MDU. It helps improve reliability. It relieves some pretty substantial congestion in our grid. It helps provide pathways for our power to get out to those who need it across the MISO region, which helps our power producers. So I am going to support this project. It's $440 million. Of that, our ratepayers will pay a very small amount because that cost is being paid through by all MISO North customers. And so I think this one ultimately does provide a pretty strong benefit to our North Dakota ratepayers. So I am going to support it. I do think that it, you know, and know that I've been working with staff on protesting the projects in Tranche 2.1, which are much more focused on helping meet member plans and goals exclusively in other states. And we do need to double down and make sure that we're fighting those efforts. But as for this project, I do think it does have benefits to our customers, and I believe it does meet public convenience and necessity criteria, and I'm going to support it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, I'll move to a roll call vote. Chair Christman?
Nay.
Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert?
Aye.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Aye.
Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-24-297.
Second. Say, I actually have a meeting here in like 5 minutes that I need to slip out for. So I guess can we finish this one quick and then jump to my stuff?
Would you mind
withdrawing
your motion?
Yeah, I'll withdraw, and this is something that... Go ahead, Julie.
Julie, do you withdraw your second?
Yes.
Okay, so let's move to JF1.
Okay, I'm just pulling that up. Shit. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Okay. I move the commission adopt the order on continuing suitability in Harmony Solar North Dakota LLC Harmony Solar Project Cass County siting application, case number PU-18-219.
Second.
So this is basically an approval of the an order that we approved a few years ago. The order had expired, or the permit had expired. We've gone through an informal with them. And I believe they continue to meet the criteria for this permit. And so I believe that we've done our due diligence and am ready to support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'm sorry to drag this out, Julie, but this was a somewhat controversial case 6 years ago, and so I need to say this. I voted against this in 2019. We had the case in 2018, but I don't think we voted out the case until 19. And the reason for that was the administrative rules regarding prime farmland. Mm-hmm. And I actually think to this day that my position was correct in the reading of the administrative rules. I thought I brought it with me, but yes, I did. Because subsequently, 6906.0801 was changed and subsection D was removed that dealt with prime farmland. And that spring, the legislature came in and made clear that that's not the big factor that I felt it was. I personally regret that. I sided more with the values, I guess, from the 70s when North Dakotans valued the prime farmland and our ability to feed the nation and world even more than private property rights. But nowadays, our society has evolved. The law and the administrative rules have been changed. We don't value our ability to produce food as much as we do our ability to make good money immediately and exercise our private property rights. And so it's been changed. I'm here when I like the law and rules, as well as when I don't exactly like them, I'm here enforcing them. And so I'm going to vote for this because the reason I voted against it has been replaced in law.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved. Commissioner Fedorchak.
I'm going to read this last one, and I'm going to not go into a lot of explanation. I'm just going to read the motion, and hopefully we can go straight to a vote. I move the commission approve the request for a temporary variance for construction in Applied Digital Corporation temporary construction variance citing temporary approval case number PU-24-359.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved. Commissioner Fedorchak, would you like to specify a signer?
Yes. If Stacy's there, that'd be great.
She is out today.
All right. Pamela?
She's in the room.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, you guys. I'm going to beg off. Bye-bye.
Have Bye. A good day.
Chair Christman, will you be doing a dissent opinion?
Yes, but I have a funeral tomorrow, so if there's no objection, I probably won't get that in until Friday.
So noted.
Okay, so we're back to SH2 on our agenda.
Okay. I'll repeat the motion. You know, I was withdrawn. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company's transmission facility cost recovery rates, case number PU-24-297.
Second.
On July 15th, MDU filed an annual rate update under its transmission facility cost adjustment tariff. On the 14th, of 2024, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing and no responses were received. So the discussion on this filing, we did not meet with them for an informal, but staff did a lot of work on this case. This tariff case, MDU included three new transmission projects totaling $1.1 million in the proposed TCA revenue requirement. One was a rebuild project, another one was a replacement project, and the other one was a substation with a line reroute. In its initial filings, MDU proposed to refund customers approximately a little less than $460,000, while MDU's rate 45 consumer contributing $7.6 million in reduction to the revenue requirement. Upon digging into this filing, staff, and kudos to Adam for finding the error, staff discovered MDU was applying an incorrect rate in calculating the MISO Schedule 26A credit and proposed recovering $1.7 million in total project costs for one of the phases of the rebuild in a portion of the second phase of a rebuild, which was already planned for recovery in rate bases. So based upon that error that was found by staff, MDU did revise its filing to correct the MISO Schedule 26A credit, which increased the refund by $200,000 and removed the project costs that were planned for rate base recovery, which also increased the refund by an additional $300,000. So with the revised filing, MDU proposes to refund $949,802 to be effective December 1st, 2024. The change result in the billing decrease for a residential customer using 800 kilowatt per month, of which per month is about 95 cents, or annually $11.40. So with the advised refiling and the thorough review, I approve this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission suspend the tariff and rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern State Power Company franchise fees, City of Grand Forks, electric rates, case number PU-24-363.
Second.
Thank you. On October 31st, Northern States Power Company filed an application for revisions to its city fee rider tariff to incorporate the change approved by the City of Grand Forks, eliminating a reduction in the franchise fees applicable to large users of electricity. For note, there are currently no large volume customers in Grand Forks who qualify for this reduction city fee. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 6, 2025. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utility Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-24-366.
Second.
Thank you. On November 1st, MDU filed a change to its renewable resource cost adjustment rates. The new rates reflect projected costs through December 31st, 2025, related to the investments in the Thunder Spirit, Cedar Hills, and Diamond Willow wind projects. The total cost to be recovered through the proposed rates represent a decrease of $2.7 million or 13%. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by January 1st, 2025. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Okay. And we don't have anything on our administrative agenda unless... because it's a special meeting now with the time change, we can't really add anything except scheduling. Did you have anything to add to scheduling, or do we just forego the administrative meeting?
I have nothing to add.
And staff, any scheduling changes that we need to do?
Because you walked into the room.
I'm looking at Steve, whether he...
No.
Okay.
Nope.
So there won't be an administrative meeting. So with that, we will take questions from the press after adjournment. But for now, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.